This is the MLW Radio Network.
Welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network and on cagematch.net. I'm your host, Striga, as always joined by Dylan, and we got two shows from Tokyo that happened a couple of hours ago. We're recording this on the Saturday before Easter, and we're both fired up, Dylan, right?
I'm so fired up, Striga. You don't even understand right now. We had to pull some strings. We had to figure some things out timing-wise. Happy Easter to everybody out there, by the way, to all the listeners. Hopefully everybody's got some good food planned, got some good... right now, Ken is out trying to buy ham as we speak.
Oh!
For Easter, like very late thing. I think Easter kind of snuck up on us, this year, snuck up on us, but that's okay because what didn't sneak up on us was the Champion Carnival, was Sakura Genesis, was all the fun stuff happening in New Japan and All Japan and on the Eastern Lariat as, 7 years, my anniversary show today, years since the first episode of the Eastern Lariat to the day.
And you know, Dylan, it was someone else's 7th anniversary basically today. It was Sanada's 7th anniversary since he joined New Japan Pro Wrestling. He came in as a member of Lost in Gawanamanas de Japan 2016. Sakura Genesis, or was it still, what was the show name? Was
Invasion Attack?
Yeah. So, but now 7 years later to the day, Sanada did what really nobody ever thought he'd ever do. He won the big one, Dylan.
That's right. I mean, it was a genuine surprise. Like, me and him, we don't share a lot. We got the same thighs. That's about the only thing we share. Did you see those new gear he had with the shorts?
Yes, and that's the thing. Everything they did in recent weeks was pointing into the direction that they were really strapping the rocket underneath Sanada for him to explode, to get the big push. He got a new group. He shaved his beard off. He got new gear today, new shiny gear, that is, new big match gear, new robe, new everything for Sanada. And that clearly pointed into the direction that Sanada would be winning the championship from Okada. But A, it's Sanada, and B, he was facing Okada. And that's usually an automatic loss for Sanada.
That's both excellent points on your part, Striga, and I was we were clearly on the same wavelength heading into this match, I would say. The only thing, first of all, we'll get into it a little bit, but we got to say one thing, one very important thing that we cannot let slide in all of this. You kind of mentioned it, you alluded to it, the new group. I will never support Sanada or Five Guys until one of two things happens, okay? I'm opening my horizons up a little bit. I'm trying to find new ways to think about things. I think life is about growth, Striga. We all got to grow some way. So yeah. I'm going to give them a chance
I'm going to do a point on growth when you finish with your point. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give them a chance. I'm going to grow myself right now, and I'm going to give them a chance. But the one of two things has to happen. First of all, Five Guys needs to lower those damn prices right now. It's too high. I mean, look, you're looking at almost, $17-18 for burger and fries.
That's
crazy. Exactly. Like, that's what I'm saying. Five Guys, I told you they're overrated. $15-17 for a burger and fries. You don't even get a soda. You're looking at $20. The soda is the best part of fast food, Striga. You can't take away my soda and expect me to overpay for this. So if they're not going to do that, if the burgers are not going to change, there needs to be something else that needs to change. In protest of these horrible prices, I would like to see the merchandise for Just Five Guys be free on New Japan, shop.com. Those are the only two ways I will ever support this title reign or this group.
Man, I think that's wearing heavy on Zanata's shoulders right now that you're not in.
I agree. I think we know that he wants me to like him. I don't think he comes across as a bad guy, per se. No. I don't think he hates the fans. I think he wants fan support, but...
Zanata is a thumbs-up guy, Dylan.
That's true. I mean, remember when every city he went to was his favorite? In the country?
Very inspired from Mick Foley.
That was very funny. I will give him that. But what was your point about growth and all of that?
Yeah, growth, man. These guys, when Suzuki-gun disbanded, these guys were basically at the tail end of everything in New Japan Pro Wrestling. They were misfits, rejects, dropouts, whatever word you can come up with. There was really nothing that pointed into any direction that Taka Michinoku, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Doki, and Taichi as a group would go anywhere but being a undercard comedy act of sorts. But then they were really entertaining. They had great six-man tag matches. They added Zanada, and all of a sudden, Just Five Guys is at the top of the table, not only with Zanada as their champion, but also with Yoshinobu Kanemaru, of all people, now challenging Hiromu Takahashi for the championship. If that isn't growth, I don't know what is.
In an unofficial main event spot, when Hiromu came out afterwards, who was there to meet him but the one we all wanted,
Kanemaru. Yeah, yes. Fantastic stuff. No, you. I don't think that anybody, when this group was thrown together at the beginning of the year, there were lots of memes, especially after they were named Just Five Guys. But also with the Just Four Guys moniker, what a stupid stable name that is, to be quite honest. But man, these guys make it work. I don't know how, but it's working.
Well, I mean, right now they've decided like this. This is their idea of great creative. This is their idea of pushing someone to the moon. Five guys. Someone's a big fan. I don't know who, and I wish I knew, because I would boycott them so hard if I knew, because I will never respect Five Guys. But I do. You know, there's no doubt what you said is true. Like they've definitely clearly gone all in on this, and I think that is a very interesting path. We can talk about it a little bit here. Considering I don't think anybody expected this, overall. Like you said, when this group got made, I don't think anybody expected 2 months Sonata will be the champion. Or 3 months Sonata will be the world champion. I don't think anybody expected that at the start of the year.
I'm just trying to find out whatever he did at Wrestle Kingdom, because I don't remember. Let's see. Do you remember from the top of your head?
No, not at all.
All right, he was in this random six-man tag match. Hiroshi Tanahashi, Keiji Muto, and Shota Umino beat Bushi, Zanada, and Tetsuya Naito. That's what he did at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, and he was like the least important guy in that match. He didn't even, I guess maybe besides Bushi. But he took the fall.
And he was one of two guys that lost in the Kongo versus LIJ series.
That's right, he lost to Soya.
Yeah, to Manabu Soya.
Does Soya deserve a title shot? Triple crown champion, triple crown GHC and IWGP champion, Manabu Soya.
Manabu Soya wins the champion carnival and then calls out Zanada. I'm not going to take this stupid triple crown shot. I'm going to go for the big one.
That's right. That could be long-term planning here. All the mastermind plan of making Manabu Soya the top star in Japanese wrestling.
Man, I didn't expect it with Zanada. I don't know.
Who knows what will happen now?
I didn't expect Jake Lee to win the GHC title. I didn't expect this here. This is a complete new landscape, man. Yes, so Okada's world title reign only lasted 94 days. That's, I guess, let me see. It has to be the shortest of his reigns ever. This prior title run was 159 days with the world title. Let's look. Oh, the first title run with the IWGP. No, even that was longer.
Yeah, he lost it back to Tanahashi.
Yeah, but that was 125 days. This one only lasted 94 days from Wrestle Kingdom until now, and now he lost the belt. And I've said it before with Zanada when he beat Tetsuya Naito in the semifinal of the New Japan Cup. This new finishing move, it's called the Deadfall. I've just found out, the Deadfall.
The Deadfall.
Yes, the modified DDT of sorts.
Yeah, it's like a Blade Runner into a DDT.
Exactly, yes. That was perfect to counter the Destino from Tetsuya Naito, and he didn't see it coming. And Okada was on the winning end of his match. He has this formula that he does with the Cobra Twist into the landslide and stuff, and they went for the Rainmaker. But then this final Rainmaker got countered by the Deadfall. And once again, not as fluid of a transition as they probably imagined it to be, but it worked out to counter the Rainmaker perfectly to a finish in almost 27 minutes in a match that basically was down to the formula of Okada matches. The first half you can really forget about. There was nothing that of sorts that happened, outside brawl and stuff. But man, the final 5 to 10 minutes, extremely heated. The crowd was really onto their feet, and especially behind Zanada. Whenever Zanada was outside the ring, staring into the crowd, the fans were rabid for this guy. So clearly, this guy is hot right now, and he faced the biggest star of them all in this company, and they delivered a main event that I would say was, I'd say, very good. I don't think that it was match of the year level good or anything like that, but it was a good enough main event for Zanada to be viewed as one of the top guys right now.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this was like the fifth best match of the five, to be honest. But I mean, the other four were great, so
yeah.
It's hard to criticize it too much. But I would describe this as a passable main event, like not a great match by any means, but not like, oh, like this totally ruins everything. I think it was, like you said, very formulaic in approach, yeah, as you would expect from these two. Overall, I think we have to credit, whatever you think of everything, the booking heading into this match. Ultimately, they did a good job of heating up Sonata. Like what you said is so true. The fans really rallied behind Sonata. This show did 6,500 fans, pretty much, mm-hmm, which is one of their biggest numbers. Like their biggest number since 2019 in Sumo Hall. At this point, they're still a ways away from where they were. The last show they did, like the Sakura Genesis of 2019, did like 9,500. Mm-hmm. So they're still thousands away from that. But this is bigger than where they were. Even last year, their number was more like 4,700. So like that's a pretty big jump up, I would say, for this. Sonata as champion, I still don't know if I really believe in him that much, to be honest with you. When I look at his performances and just who he is as a performer, I think I would have rather Okada retained, because I think he was doing some great and fantastic work as champion. I think, like, really interesting. He had a lot going for him. But on the other hand, this company needs people on Okada's level. And
that's what I said when we did the last show. That is exactly what Okada said. Where have you been all this time? And now Zanada is there.
Yeah, and even that was, like, he was like,
we went over that, but yeah. still though, the point, the core of the point was that he needed the rival.
The core of the point was that Sonata's a chump. Like, you know, that, like, you are reading into that what is not what he's said, to be honest. But your point is right, though.
Exactly.
It's just not what he said on there. Like, but yeah, like what you said is true, though. And is Sonata that guy? And I think that's the next step of analyzing all of this. I don't think so, but they needed to try somebody at the end of the day.
Yeah, I mean, they set him up, they set David Finlay up, and now they also set El Fantasmo up to turn babyface to oppose the Bullet Club. He's going to be the new Bullet Club hunter, I guess. But better than Yoshitatsu.
Oh yeah, we'll talk about that very briefly.
Yeah, let's stay with Onada. So he was challenged by Hiromu Takahashi afterwards. They have an inbuilt storyline with that, him leaving LIJ. It's not like he turned on LIJ. That's not what happened. He just said, I'm out and I'm joining these guys. But there still has to be some grudge within LIJ for Zanada, not only beating Naito in the semifinal of the New Japan Cup, but also leaving the group. And now they have this inbuilt storyline with Hiromu Takahashi as the next challenger that should possibly happen at Wrestling Dontaku, I would imagine, at the beginning of May. It would be a fitting main event for the venue they've set up. And Takahashi is a great guy to be in the main event position. He is going to have a great match with Zanada. I'm very sure about that. And then we can look at what other possible challengers there could be. I mean, they just did Shingo Takagi. But there still is a possibility that, for example, Tetsuya Naito goes one-on-one with Zanada. That could be a main event for Dominion, right, for Dominion in June. That would be a great, great main event for, just for the draw, it would be a great main event.
Yeah, I think that's a, I mean, it's a logical thing as well.
Yeah.
You know, like move from Hiromu to Naito. I think they might heat up Evil for the, like, the storyline purposes of Sonata and Evil as well.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, I just don't think Sonata's very good no matter who he wrestles, to be honest with you. So, that's going to be tough. Like, you know, I don't think Sonata and Hiromu will be a great match. I think Hiromu will be great in it. And, like, the fans will rally behind him, but I have low expectations of Sonata as a wrestler. I saw that final with Finlay, and it was such a...
It was an okay match.
Yeah. And, like, I mean, his match with Kenta was atrocious, like, as well, like, in the cup. Like one of the worst matches of the year, you could argue.
Yeah.
Like, Sonata is by no means a good wrestler in the ring. Like, I want to emphasize this point. So, for me personally, as a fan, we had fun with it, but in all honesty, I'm not interested in anything he does as just champion.
So, what do you think? What is this title run? Is this title run supposed to be a run for Zanada to really reach the top and remain champion for a long time? Do you think that it is a transitional title run to get the title of Okada into someone else? What do you think that this is?
You know, we kind of went through this, but on paper, I think that Hiromu challenging is so interesting, mm-hmm. but it could be good or bad, I feel like. But I don't think it's impossible Hiromu doesn't win, to be honest with you. Maybe that's a hot take, but I think that here's my thinking of this, okay? If Hiromu goes in there and loses right before the Best of the Super Juniors,
yeah,
that makes they already look bad, so it's not like they're losing so much. But this is the one guy who's like a real star of mm-hmm. the junior division, like people will rally behind as a main event player. And if you're going to do that, you accomplish more by having Sonata beat Okada finally, because that tells a great story. That has no doubt elevated Sonata. Whatever you want to say about him, there's no question that he is bigger now than he has been in years, you know, at this point. If Hiromu beats Okada, that's not realistic to me. Like, you know, like that, I don't think that they would allow that to happen. But would they allow the junior champion to beat Sonata? I can wrap my head around that mm-hmm. more. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen, but I think that that's a very interesting first challenger to have, to where you are going to have a title, a champion versus a champion match going on. And I think that's so interesting that they would do that. It just seems weird because this is something that they have not done. The junior champion challenging for the heavyweight title. They have not done that at any time during Gato's reign as Booker.
Yeah.
So I think it's very interesting. You know, at the end
there
of the
day, there was one exception. I think, wasn't it Devitt that challenged Tanahashi back then?
Yeah, Devitt challenged Okada.
Okada,
match. Yeah, it was Okada. Yeah, you're right about that. That led to Devitt becoming heavyweight.
Yeah, that's the one exception. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the question is, will this lead then to Hiromu Takahashi going heavyweight? Because what you say is true, that him losing and then going into the Best of the Super Junior as champion wouldn't really look good. But maybe he decides after he loses to Zanada, or if he beats Zanada, whatever way they choose to do, that he's going to go heavyweight and not participate in the Best of the Super Junior. and he drops his title, and the winner of the Super Junior becomes the new champion.
Yeah, I think win or lose, that's coming. I think they're finally going to flip the switch on that, and I think it's something that's been desperately needed for years now.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, if you look at his run this year, Hiromu's, he has had a fantastic in-ring run. Like, he's had great matches, but a lot of times he's the less interesting guy, I guess, because I think people are not really feeling this junior title run because the junior title is beneath him, like, at the end of the day.
Yeah, and he has it for the fifth time now, and basically we've been through this
exactly
a lot. And
yeah, it's not interesting. Like, that's all there is to it. Like, he's a great performer. Like, there's no question his skill level is among the highest in the company, but this is not interesting. So I think that they're finally going to flip the switch on this. And like I said, I think it's interesting that he's the first challenger. That makes me feel like there's a possibility that he could win and really throw things into chaos, pretty much. But I do think the logical thing is Sonata would win, and this would lead Hiromu to jump up to heavyweight and have a big G1 run. I could see that happening as
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
But let's look at that match as well, because
Hiromu
Takahashi, in his, what is it, the third defense he had, great matches before in this title run. The one with Yo was received very well. The one with Leo Rush was very good. And this one, Robbie Eagles, came out here and showed that he is a guy that they should really look at for the top of this division, because Robbie Eagles was just fantastic in this match. He completely tore apart Hiromu Takahashi's knee to the point. And that's great about Hiromu, that he even sold it when he came into the ring after the main event. He couldn't really get into the ring because his knee was still so hurt from the punishment that Robbie Eagles threw on it. And he just wouldn't stop to attack the knee for the Ron Miller special. They had two great moments after the knee was badly hurt. The one was Robbie Eagles coming off the top with a splash. Takahashi got his knees up, but still was hurting. That's right from the school of Hiroshi Tanahashi matches. And the second one was when Eagles was going for the Ron Miller special. Takahashi rolled him up for a small package for a near fall, but Robbie Eagles still got the Ron Miller special in for Takahashi. But in the end, it was a time bomb too to put him away. This was very, very good. I thought it was the third best match of the show, I'd say.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And just a great run. I absolutely love Eagles as a wrestler. I think he's such a talented guy. I like his look, too, that he has now at TMDK. I think it really fits him well. I like his old look well enough, too. But I think he looks really good in the orange, kind of attire, black and orange.
Mm-hmm.
He really feels like a guy who could, like you said, he had that brief run a couple of years ago with the junior title, and I thought he was fantastic in that. He's one of my favorite wrestlers, just in the ring again. And he doesn't have necessarily the charisma that Hiromu has, but he has great wrestling that makes me always invested in what he does. And he's a really good player. Like you said, hopefully they give him a look as a future, like, champion type of person in the junior division. And Hiromu did a great job again. Like I said, every match he's had as champion has been really strong, whether it's Yo, Amakusa, Leo Rush, or this one. And this one might even be on the lower end, technically, compared to those other ones.
Yeah.
But I mean, they were all great matches, though. I thought that Leo Rush match stole the show. Like, that way overshadowed the final on that show, the Cup final. And I thought this was a better match than the main event, personally. But I thought it was a really good, like you said, this show was so good that nothing really stood out above the others. It's just like there was a lot of great matches.
Yeah. Much like I said, the third best match of the show, probably. I'd put the women's match above this one. And, well, to be quite honest, I said it was a very good main event. It was a very good main event for the purpose of Sonata winning. But wrestling-wise, probably not the best match of the show at the lower end of these top matches, to be quite honest. Best match of the show, in my opinion, clearly was the tag title match with Aussie.
I agree.
With Aussie Open just performing on they are on such a roll. I've said it on Twitter, just beginning at the end of last year in October when they challenged FTR for the tag titles the first time in London. Then they went to AEW, they are going back and forth between America and Japan. Now, being in Ring of Honor, AEW, and New Japan, tearing it up in each promotion, having great matches on three different continents within the last 8-9 months, and now finally winning the IWGP Tag Team title from Bishamon. Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi were fantastic in this match as well, because it was important very early on when Kyle Fletcher had this crazy dive and had this wound above his right ear, I think it was, and he was bleeding heavily. They taped him, he went back into the ring, and they took good care of him. That's a point that I think Peps Wrestling made on Twitter as well. They took very good care of Kyle Fletcher, but they still were able to do all that crazy stuff that Aussie Open is doing, to the point that they finally then put away Goto with the Coriolis. Incredible payoff for Aussie Open. They are clearly one of the hottest acts in the promotion. You could see it in the New Japan Cup that both Kyle Fletcher and Mark Davis performed on a very high level. And now they got this big victory. And yeah, just amazing when you consider where these guys were coming from the indies in England to New Japan. They couldn't really wrestle there during the pandemic because, well, they weren't in the promotion before the pandemic happened, so they had to wait and wait and wait. And basically, this took 2 years off of their run in New Japan, but now they're there and they are fantastic.
Yeah, and their story, like you mentioned, they're on this hot level and all this, but their story heading into New Japan Cup was, we don't have any bookings. Like, they really weren't hot at all. Like, when you look at, not their wrestling, but just in terms of, like, status, so to speak, overall. And, like, a lot of people wanted them to be in the Dome tag match versus FTR and everything. They really weren't doing anything for a while. I think the New Japan Cup was a big turning point for both of these guys. I think Fletcher, especially, and in the Cup and in this match, I think the injury he had during the match made only added to the drama of it all, pretty much. And I thought these guys have really proven themselves. And Fletcher feels like a guy that eventually could be a main event singles level guy if they wanted to go down that route. I think he's got everything it takes. And Mark is doing really good work, too, in New Japan. I think these guys had a really rough go early on in their AEW run. And, you know, that soured some people, but man, everything else they've done, I thought the tag league was really solid work by them. The Cup was good. I think a big part of that was, and I think why Fletcher stood out more, is that his opponents were both Bishamon, like Yoshihashi and Goto.
Yeah.
And that really helped him look better than Davis overall.
But yeah, Davis had to wrestle Evil, right?
Yeah, exactly. Davis got Evil. So
Davis got the great match with Ospreay as well.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Like I said, to me, the Fletcher matches were better. Like, but I mean, you know, it's like I said, I'm not slandering Dunkzilla right here. I'm just saying that Fletcher stood out a little bit more, and I think in this match he did because of the injury, as you mentioned. Bishamon, I mean, this run, they feel like one of the hottest acts to me.
Yeah,
true. If you go by the tag match last month with Dream Team, Okada and Tanahashi, and that's something we didn't even talk about. I love how we totally overlooked Okada. Like, I'm going to bring this back a second. What do you think's next for Okada?
Yeah, that's,
after he lost the title,
it's going to be interesting. Much like Okada, Bishamon's title run lasted 94 days. They also won it at Wrestle Kingdom, and to be quite honest, they had the title longer than anybody thought they would have it.
Yeah, because
everybody was thinking that Mikey Nichols and Shane Haste would beat them, because that always happens when Goto and Yoshihashi win the tag title. Then everybody pointed at Tanahashi and Okada because they are the big dream team to possibly win the tag title, but they beat them. And now it was the end of the road for them as tag champions, but it was still a very, very good title run. Even though it wasn't long, it produced some great matches. As for Okada, this opens up a lot of possibilities, I would say, because I don't see him returning to the title mix within the next months. They'll probably wait until the G1 to heat Okada back up to be one of the guys that will be there in the end for possibly winning the tournament in the end. With Hiromu challenging and with Tetsu Naito possibly challenging, there is no open spot at the top of the table. But given the fact that he formed a team with Tanahashi, I could see him transitioning into a lower role on the card now, with his group, with Chaos, just doing some multi-man matches and just hanging around for the time being. Maybe going for the NEVER six-man title, who knows? Maybe they want some fun stuff with Okada to do, something else. Mind you, he has never won any title but the World Heavyweight title in New Japan Wrestling. So there's lots of stuff they could do with him, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I definitely don't see that six-man run coming for Okada. I think that he will not be in the title picture. I agree with that. And this is the struggle of Okada, historically.
Where, maybe like, he finally becomes the King of Pro Wrestling, Dylan.
Oh my god, that match with Shingo and Hanare, to me, was like one of the absolute best matches of the year. Like, I thought that was an amazing match.
It got overshadowed by a lot last weekend because of WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
But I was watching that match live, and I was just kind of sitting there and thinking, okay, this is good. This is great. This is incredible. This is phenomenal, because these two guys, they had a 38-minute match. And the last 20 minutes of that match was basically both guys throwing bombs at no end. And they were just going and going and going and going.
Yeah. I love the match type, too. I thought this was
cool.
Yeah, this triad match or whatever. It's like basically you have to tap out, pin, and knock out your opponent. You got to get three wins.
Yeah.
It's like the most extreme match type. Like the, you know, and it was like so good.
A Texas death match.
Yeah, it was like the super version of that. And it's like, man, I love that they did this. This was so good. Like the best Tanari match ever.
Yeah.
And to me, like I said, that to me was like a match of the year level. Unfortunately, I think if that match had happened on this show, it would be talked about.
Oh,
a lot
Jesus,
more.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, unfortunately, it was in a Road 2 show.
Yeah, the all eyes were really on this Sakura Genesis show, and they didn't have any room on the card for any other big match here because, well, it's going to be another talking point because, of course, they had a IWGP Women's title match on this show, so there was no room for the King of Pro Wrestling, I guess, in their thinking.
They were going to get 38 minutes, but overall, yeah. I think, just to bring it back to Okada real quick, I think he's a guy that, like you said, there's a lot of possibilities for him. Historically, this isn't the first time we've said, oh, he should go on a tag team run.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but things are a little different now. Like, they're doing a lot of different things. Like I said, since there was some shakeups behind the scenes, people getting their voices heard a little bit more, we've seen a lot of different things take place. So I'm not writing it off. I'd love if a dream team run, him and Tanahashi, I think that's a great role. I would like to see him, whatever he does, I hope he still continues to have, like, this super ego edge, like egomaniacal edge to him. I think he needs that. It makes him more interesting. I think you could do a lot of different things. And I think he's definitely going to be one of the main players at Forbidden Door for AEW and New Japan's cross show. I think he's going to be one of the faces of that show for whatever he does.
Interestingly enough, he was not at WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah. Well, he was the champion. So
right.
I guess they didn't want to send the champion there, but Tanahashi was. He was all over the place there. I feel like I watched all of his matches. He got his teeth knocked out in one of them, unfortunately.
Again.
So, yes, get well soon, Tanahashi, is all I can say. But anyway, the tag match, it was phenomenal. That I totally agree with you. That was the best match of the show. Both teams have so much going for them right now. I mean, well, Bishamon's probably going to... It's the tag team division is much like the junior division. If you're not the champion, you're on the bench, pretty much. So I think that they're probably going to go way down.
Yeah.
But Aussie Open can still do a lot of cool things. I mean, who are the potential challengers for this belt besides Okada and Tanahashi at this point?
Very good question.
Are there any tag teams? TMDK?
Yeah, TMDK is there. Looking at just five guys, they could challenge Sanada and Taichi, for example, as a tag team.
Yeah, I think that would be tough with Sonata as champion. Right,
That's true. Yeah, there is nothing.
Evil and Yujiro, I guess.
Yeah. Cobb and Hinari, for example.
That would be good. That would be good. Yeah, Hinari versus Shingo was just an incredible. I still can't get over how good that match was.
Who would the Bullet Club tag team be? Would it be David Finlay and Kenta now?
I guess so. At this point, the Bullet Club's kind of all, let's talk about that.
Minoru Suzuki and Rene Arita could challenge, for example.
Yeah, I would like that. Like, that would be pretty cool. I love anything Narita does. Like, Narita, to me, is, like, the guy. Like, wrestling-wise, just as a fan. Maybe not in personality or whatever, but just as a wrestler, I love his work so much. So, I'm all for that.
Why wasn't he on the show, by the way?
He's on the bench. He's another one of these bench players right now.
Yeah.
Not a lot going on. I mean, remember, he was eliminated in the first round. It's clear that they've put a lot more focus on Umino than him, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's clearly the case. Yeah, let's maybe then look at that match.
Yeah.
The match for the New Japan Pro Wrestling television title. Zack Sabre Jr. defeated Shota Umino 13-35. I'm going to quickly look at all these match times that Zack Sabre Jr. had, and I'm seeing 14-38. 14:06, 12:28, the shortest one against Blake Christian, and 13:35 against Shota Umino now. Lots of matches that are close to the time limit. And we've said it before with this title, much like with the formulaic main event here with Okada and Sanada, a lot of this stuff that they are doing in this title run, we've seen before. Mm-hmm. We've seen this match before with a different wrestler. And it really wasn't a match that Shota Umino got a lot of near falls in. He got one or two near falls at the end of the match, but most of the match was really in the hands of Zack Sabre Jr. And that's been a staple of this title run, that he usually is the guy that dictates the pace of the title match. And it always seems like that he's toying with his opponents and then in the end just put them away. So I'm not sure, even though you said what you said was right, that they are focusing much more on Shota Umino, I am unsure where this Zack Sabre Jr. title run can lead to other than losing the title to Umino or Ren Arita. And since Ren Arita isn't there right now, Umino probably would have been the guy, right?
Yeah, and they had a really good match in the New Japan Cup against each other, too, which mm-hmm. I think maybe took away from this one a little bit. The whole point of this match to me, you mentioned the one near fall he got, which was off of the Death Rider, which Zach kicked out of, which I think was meant to be like some kind of turning point moment for Umino. I saw some people speculating that maybe this would lead to him like dropping all the Moxley stuff and kind of finding himself, mm-hmm. which, I'm fine with that if that leads to something. The title run, like what you said about Zach, is so true. Like everything you said was so right. And listen, we were on the show. I remember it. Striga told you. He told you, Gato, do not do this. Do not have every match go to near the time limit. He said, do different things. I heard him say it. Yeah. I'm not making this up. And you're not listening. You are not listening, Gato. It's supposed to be a TV title. The purpose of the match was to be shorter matches. And on this show, we had the women's match, the TV title, and the junior titles were all around the same damn time.
This title is completely useless.
It wasn't supposed to be this way.
Exactly. It's completely useless because it doesn't stand out in any way.
And that was the whole point of it, was to stand out.
To be different.
Yes, we have the stupid never title if we need a superfluous mid-card title. Now we have two that do the exact same thing. So, what is this? At the end of the day, I really think this title, I wish they had put Narita as the champion. Because now, remember, it's the same thing we heard before, where at first it was the young guy's title.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if you listened to English or Japanese commentary.
Yeah, I listened. Yeah.
So Kevin Kelly made fun of that, actually, once again, of the idea that this title would be for the young guys, but then Zack Sabre won it.
It's so goofy. it's like an unforced error. It's such a simple thing that they could easily have avoided. That either put it on Narita, like you should have done.
I've said that. That was a big mistake.
Yeah, or just don't even mention nothing about the young guys title. Like, you didn't even have to say that. Like, why did you have to say that? There's no reason for that. You know, and I just, and like I said, the match was good. You know, it was a good match. It's not like it was this terrible performance or anything, but it was like, to me, clearly outshined by the other three, like that we talked about, the junior and the tag, especially the tag and the women's match. And I think that's, and like you said, ultimately the biggest issue with this title match is the title is more important than any match, is that it just feels useless right now. It's another IC title, another US title, another NEVER title, which was not what it was supposed to be.
That's exactly true. So where do we go from here?
The women's match is the next down the line, right?
That's true, but I was kind of thinking maybe we have an idea for the TV title.
I think that it's going to continue with the Zach run. I don't see really anybody on the roster right now. They've been beaten Umino, and he beat Narita at the start, and they haven't really followed up on any story with Narita since that happened. He's been basically a bench player. You know, they, and Suzuki's in kind of a weird spot where he's going to different places and not always. You know, I think that kind of hurts Narita too, being in that faction.
I think it comes down to who is TMDK going to be opposing next.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe it's going to be the United Kingdom. That makes a lot of sense, to be quite honest. Maybe it's Chaos. I don't know. It's it could be LIJ, of course. I mean, Zack Sabre and who is there? Tetsuya Naito for the TV title. Why not?
The young guys title.
The young guys title, yes. Naito isn't doing anything, so why not? I mean,
yeah, it gives him a spot, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Ishii has been the first challenger, so
yeah, true.
That is out of the window anyway.
Tanahashi!
Who's the oldest guy on the roster? Tenzan!
Yeah, Tenzan, finally give him a chance.
Or is Suzuki older than Tenzan? I'm not sure right now.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Well, Tenzan's more broken down, so I think he's older.
He's automatically older than Minoru Suzuki.
Yes.
So Tenzan is 52. Oh, that's close, actually.
Let's see. What about Minoru? How's it going to play out?
54! Oh!
Oh!
Older, but much like you said, when it comes to ring shape, Tenzan's clearly older.
In all honesty, though, Zach versus Minoru, that feels like a big-time match because of their history. You know, like more than the wrestling, just the history they've had. I mean, Zach's been in his faction for all these years. They finally break apart. The students surpassing the master. That feels like something they should do, honestly, with this time.
They really should.
And maybe that could lead to Narita getting another shot afterwards.
Right? Yeah. The women's title. The women's title match was on here. It got a good segment this time, unlike at Wrestle Kingdom. Mercedes Moné, Azumi, and Hazuki, they got almost 14 minutes until Moné put Azumi away with the Moneymaker. And once again, the finish didn't look good. She kind of wanted to drop Azumi onto Hazuki to eliminate Hazuki from the match, but it didn't really work out. And at first, I thought that she was going to pin both of her challengers at the same time. It looked like that. The finish didn't look good. The match itself was very good, I thought. What did you think about this?
Yeah, you know, I think I always felt this way going into it, but especially in hindsight, I wish it had just been a singles match instead of a three-way. I think that would have been more interesting as a match, and especially how they did it. Basically, like you said, it was basically Mercedes standing tall over both of them, you know, like beating them both with the Moneymaker. But as a match, I definitely think very good. You know, I wouldn't say this was like a match of the year level match or anything like that, but it's hard to go down from the 5-minute match at the Dome, which I think left everybody with a sour taste. And I don't think the timing was an issue with this match. I think it was very well done. It was well paced. You know, you had all action throughout all the 14 minutes. You know, you got a good amount of that. There was some creativity shown with the three as well, which I did like.
Yes, very cool stuff with Azumi. All this bouncing around from one person to the another with this elevated tornado DDT, for example. Good stuff there.
Yeah, and Azumi was the one who actually stood out to me in the match.
Yeah, she was always, the glue of the match.
Yeah, as she always does if you watch her at Stardom. She's like one of the best wrestlers anywhere, in my opinion. And she continued to love that, to show that here, and I love that. Hazuki and Mercedes were both very good, and again, very high-level performers. Very clean, you know, performers for this type of match, even though it kind of got, like you said, things got a little convoluted and fell apart at the end. Not fell apart, but it wasn't as great as it could have been, you know, the finishing stretch, I would say, overall. But yeah, I thought it was really good. I personally would put the tag title match above it, and I think that the junior match was
on a
bit
similar
more,
level. Yeah,
yeah. The junior match was a little bit more full, in my opinion. It went a little longer than this. I think there was a little bit more to it. Again, I don't think the time. I'm not saying they need to have more time. Like, I'm not saying that at all.
No, man. This was basically like a high speed match in Stardom, so the timing of this was completely fine.
Yeah, and longer than a high-speed match. Yeah. If anything else, like, I mean, those are more like 8 or 9 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we said that at the Dome, like, if they had just had 10 minutes, I think that could have been a fantastic match. Overall, like, pound for pound, that was a great, great match. It's just everything surrounding it. And, I mean, the debut was horrific, too, that they had there. Like, the finishing might not be as great here, but it was way better than at the Dome, at least. So, yeah, this was a good match. To me, though, clearly, ultimately, this was the point of this match was not anything about this match in and of itself. It was to set up what happened afterwards with Mayu.
Yes, Mayu Iwatani challenged Mercedes Moné after the match. Mercedes slapped her in the face, and so we got the title match set up for Stardom on April 23rd. And that's the big show. They have all the title matches on. And so, is Mayu winning?
Oh, yeah. I think Mayu's definitely winning.
Oh, by the way, Dylan, we are doing a show right now, so doesn't that mean I could move someone from the bench to my team?
Absolutely.
I'm hereby doing that right now. Pro Wrest Fantasy Draft, Dylan.
Okay.
I am exchanging Tam Nakano for Mayu Iwatani.
Good move. You know, that's a good move signing her to make this work out as well. Very, very smart move, I would say. Good stuff there. I have to go over my bench here to try and synthesize, see who does what. But I'm all right. I have a lot of Stardom people as well. Like I suspect Julia will get a win on that show. So my Shuri, I think, could very well get a win as well on there. Hopefully, Mirai brings home Cinderella tournament. I get a big bonus. Amazing stuff. After 2 months, we finished with the exact same points. total. It's a tie. It's like you won the first month by a certain amount, and then I won the second month by a certain amount, and now we're tied. So this will be the biggest tiebreaker yet. But
the Champion Carnival is going to be very decisive this month, I guess. You brought in Satoshi Kojima.
Yep.
I have Yuma Aoyagi and Kento Miyahara. So we'll see about that. I still have Hiromu Takahashi. And now, the worst case for me, by the way, would be if Tam Nakano wins against Julia and Mayu Iwatani loses against Mercedes.
Oh, that's true. But I think it's interesting because, I mean, with recent events in certain U.S.-based companies that we know about, I think maybe that could change certain plans if Mercedes did have. I mean, we're all speculating right now.
That's
but
true.
But I think if my personal take on her run was that knowing how much she costs, I mean, she's a very, very high paid person in the company. In fact, the highest paid person, if you're going to be perfectly honest. So with that said, I kind of figured her run would not be super long. She would make it to this big show, add that hint there, and then she would go off and, you know, into the sunset and back home, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But considering what happened in the past week with WWE, I think that maybe what is her mindset going on? That's something nobody knows. Nobody actually knows.
I think a lot of plans changed within the last 7 days with WWE being sold and the powers that be being back there. I think a lot of wrestlers' minds changed into a different direction, because maybe some wrestlers thought about returning to the company because it looked like that there would be new opportunities for people with the Triple H being on top of there. But, well, Vince is back.
And two of them are already gone. Grizzled young vets.
Yeah.
They're like, gotta go, guys. Like, company's getting sold. Mm-hmm. Their gimmick was awful as well. So they definitely get a big up getting away from Schism. So I would say. So that's one thing. But Mercedes part, I mean, look, she's had issues with WWE in the past. Her leaving was because of those things. And unless something changes, I don't. And, you know, we don't know. Again, we're all speculating. We don't know what's going on in the mind of Mercedes Moné, but we can only kind of anticipate. I think either way, though, I think that, and that's going to really affect some things, because I think on paper, knowing how much Mercedes is paid and knowing how much Mayu means to the company, I can see that being the main event of the show, like in the April 23rd show.
Let's see. I think they've already. At least my colleague at they have not mentioned a match order. Yeah, I can see that to be the main event of the show, because I mean Julia and Tam for the world of Stardom title it's not like this is the biggest match they could do.
Yeah, it's a weak match, and I did that when they started it. And I was really confused, and I think we've all been trying to speculate on what would happen when somebody put their career on the line. I debunked that right away. If you remember on the last episode, that Tom Nakano will never retire, much like Onita out there.
There clearly is no bigger match on that show with Shuri and Hashimoto. That's not going to be the main event. Saya Kamitani versus Mina Shirakawa is not a big main event match. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's either going to be that or the red belt. Like, those are the only two options. But I think that this match is bigger. Like for me as a fan, Mercedes and Mayu is a bigger match overall. We just don't know how the fans in Japan are going to think about that. And if they're going to be loyal to Mayu. Like, that's really what that would be about to me, even more than Mercedes, is that Mayu gets her shining moment of her career. Because I think that, in general, she's probably... you know, you don't want to say on the back end of her career, but Julia is the ace of the company now. Like, everybody knows that. It's not Mayu. So at this point, she's in more of a Tanahashi-like role, you know, in the company, so to speak. And I think with that said, giving her an amazing moment and her movies coming out as well, So I like this gives a little bit of extra promotion for that. Even the movies, it's not like this blockbuster movie that they're making. It's a pretty small time production, but it's still a movie nonetheless about her. So I think with that said, you can make this mean something. And I could see that. Like I said, I could easily see that being the main event overall. Yep. And I think if that happens, Mayu will win. I think Mayu's going to win either way, just because I don't know how many matches Moné can have in Stardom. You know, or even New Japan with the IWGP title.
Yeah, that is clearly a factor. And we've said it at the beginning of her run in New Japan. It didn't look like that she was in there for a long run.
Yep.
Much like you said, maybe plans change, but could be ending right now what the run that she's on.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, all we can say about the women's title now. And when you look at this card, they had a lot of title matches and they had a lot of great matches on this card. The rating for the main event, as I'm looking at it right now, it's still developing. And it's crazy high, by the way. But yeah. I think that comes down to Zanada pulling up the great surprise. And that's the thing about this match.
Yep.
That will be remembered is Zanada beating Okada. It has a rating of 9.11 right now as we're talking. The tag title match is at 9.02. Then we have the women's title match with 8.68. Zack Sabre versus Shota at 8.32, and the junior title at almost an 8 flat. And this was really a great show if we just go down the card. And there was one more thing we can go in. There were a lot of multi-man matches at the beginning, and one of these multi-man matches led to what feels like the fourth or fifth civil war between within the Bullet Club that we've seen since their inception in 2012, Dylan. Wow, the world was so much different back then when the Bullet Club was a thing for 2013.
So, yeah, because they're heading up to the 10-year.
Exactly, heading up to the 10-year anniversary. And what's good for an anniversary, Dylan? much more infighting. So what we saw was more trouble between El Fantasmo and David Finlay. They've been doing that throughout the New Japan Cup already, when Finlay first was revealed as a Bullet Club member. Fantasmo wasn't down with it, so Finlay didn't win the cup. Fantasmo thought that he should be in a much more leading role. They did some cute stuff here with the kid ringside, with the merchandise. Fantasmo gave him his merch. Finlay took it away and stuff. And after the match that El Fantasmo, by the way, won by pinfall, we got some stuff here. First of all, Kenta attacked Tama Tonga with his NEVER title. So Finlay attacked Tama Tonga with a NEVER title and is possibly going to challenge Tonga. He would be a better champion, by the way, because I constantly forget that Tama Tonga is the NEVER champion.
Yeah.
Kenta also attacked Hikuleo with a strong title. Maybe we get that match then.
Yes!
Yes! But the big thing was that the Bullet Club turned on El Fantasmo, and it was the entire Bullet Club, by the way, the entire Bullet Club that was there turned on him, including his own tag team partner, Taiji Ishimori, who kicked him in the nuts, and El Fantasmo now is out of the Bullet Club. Possibly then, not possibly, he's turning face. He's going to go against the Bullet Club, but we're going to wait and see who his ally is going to be. But that was a good segment.
They kind of teased that he's still aligned with Jay, who debuted on AEW Wednesday.
Yeah, but Jay can't wrestle in New Japan anymore.
That is true. Although they did call him out. Like, he specifically mentioned, like, oh, this guy's cucking my logo now in AEW, I've heard, or whatever. That could be something. We'll see what happens with Forbidden Door going in there. They kind of mentioned that. Maybe some kind of, like, Bullet Club Black and Gold versus Bullet Club White and Gold. The exact same as NWO, pretty much.
What did you think about the debut that Jay White had?
I mean, it looked like he was kind of like Juice's sidekick, how they debuted him. Like,
completely, you know, sucked.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it wasn't a main event debut, I think we can agree.
He played his music and he was just standing there and running to the ring. What a debut is that?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like I said, that's another one. Maybe somebody got wind of something and some plans happened and then plans changed. And now he's an AEW and now he's, you know, just Juice deal. You know, I don't know. I don't have a lot of thoughts. I've made my opinions on Jay known throughout the years. I think the best thing you could do for him is let him cut promos on TV, because I think giving him short TV-style promos would be the best use of him. If you're not going to do that, then I think that he doesn't have a lot of upside, like, outside of that. And I think we saw that on Wednesday overall, so... Week one in, they have time. The company's kind of weirdly booked in general, like where guys will go missing at times, have amazing runs, and then suddenly disappear. You know, like a good example would be like, remember when Roosh faced Bryan Danielson, had like a match of the year candidacy match? And where's he been?
Well, he's actually been teaming with his brother, and the tag team is going well.
Well, they had that one match in Ring of Honor, which, I mean, he was awesome at.
No, they're constantly teaming with, but like not on big positions.
Oh, are they on Dark or something? Because that might as well be.
They're on Rampage in a Ring of Honor.
That might as well not exist, right? Rampage overall. But Jay, he's got an uphill climb right now. But maybe they'll do something. I think he'll have more of a run towards Forbidden Door with all this Bullet Club stuff. Mm. What they're, you know.
Yeah, back to the Bullet Club here in Japan. So,
yeah.
Who's left here? We've got David Finlay. We've got Taiji Ishimori, Kenta, Gedo. And what about the House of Torture? Are they still Bullet Club or are they not? They really don't do anything together right now. Yeah. So,
That's true.
Who's there?
I mean, that's it. You just know the four main group that you had. Fantasmo, like, let's say that they don't do some kind of split-off Bullet Club thing, which I kind of think that may be where they're going, but if not, where does he fit in?
Mm. Yeah. Good question, actually. I don't know.
Him as a babyface. Mm. They kind of teased that during the G1 a little bit. Remember when he got to make out with Peter?
Yeah. There was a big moment for him being in the G1, and I Much like
I said, making out with Peter was a big moment. Like,
big moment for him. True. yeah, but I still think, but I they put him in the tournament last year, and really nobody expected him to be in at that point, but they bet on him, and I think he had a good tournament.
Yeah, he did. He did have a good tournament.
He's definitely going to be in this time again, and you said it with Zanada. They need new guys, and he apparently is a project of them. It's going to be interesting how this continues with both Kyle Fletcher and Mark Davis having such a great impact at the New Japan Cup, where that leaves him in the overall order of the non-Japanese wrestlers on the roster. Feels like that him and David Finlay would be a deciding match to sort out who is going to be higher ranked.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like, whoever comes on top with this feud, we can kind of peg as the top foreign guy at the moment. Besides maybe Ospreay after he gets back from injury overall. So I think that is a good point. I'll say one thing about this whole show, just to kind of bring this whole show back into to wrap it up, because I think it plays into Phantasmo. With all of the stuff that they did on this show, again, I'm not a huge fan of Sonata. I'm not super hyped about his run. Even with the changes, he's still the same wrestler to me, like even with the bells and whistles. But I think this company feels so fresh from where it was 6 months ago. And that's hard to say for any other company. You know, they're doing different things. I mean, we're having Hirobu challenge for a title. You know, the next title defense. They're doing a lot of different things. They have a tournament coming up with the junior tournament. You've got new tag team champions that, you know, like really cool stuff there. Factions changing. I mean, compare the factions from 1 year ago to now.
Yeah.
And it's totally different. And that's something and you compare the faction from last year to 5 years prior, and it's exactly the same.
Yeah, so. Exactly. There hasn't been any changes within the last 10 years, really.
Yeah. Yeah, and now they've made a lot of changes, and that's something we called for, and they deserve praise for doing it. And I think they've mostly, I mean, there's some gripes I have. Again, the five guys' name I'm not a big fan of, but in execution of it all, they've mostly been all hits what they've done. I think that Bullet Club is healthier now under Finlay than it's been in a long time. We kind of talked about it off the air. This Bullet Club angle, we mentioned all the ones they've done. This is one of the hottest ones in terms of crowd reaction.
The crowd was on fire on this show. They were really so heated, and it was the perfect circumstance to do an angle like this. The crowd was eating that up.
Oh, absolutely. And the same with the main event. I think the crowd deserves a lot of credit for making this feel like a special deal. I think that's why we saw those high ratings for the main event, because it feels special. You know, I don't know if history will remember it that way, and maybe it will. I'm not, like, completely writing it off. I think this was a big moment for Sonata and all the fans of LIJ always has their fans that I think it's a smart move business-wise to circle a title around them. There's questions with what Okada can do. In most years, I think in the past, I would have just written it off as he's going to hang around and then G1 will come and they'll make him win the G1 again, which may very well happen this year. But I think there's more optimism that they could do some things with the tag team. Maybe he splits off from Chaos. Because that's the one pillar that's still kind of left is Chaos and the faction-wise. Is there going to be a change in that? Because I think there's a lot of room for change if they wanted to do that. And I think that's something we could look at going forward as something to keep our eyes on. So overall, the company is in a really good spot right now. I think very interesting, new things coming on, fresh faces, new champions. I like that. I like the company right now. I thought this was a great show and one that I was really impressed by. Like I said, whatever you want to say about anybody, I think overall it's clicking right now with this company, and I'm very happy to see
that. Yeah. Top to bottom, this was a great show. This was a great show, great matches with an extremely hot crowd. This is really what New Japan needed in this circumstance right now, in this day and age. This sort of a big show with a big crowd, lots of stuff happening. That's what they needed to get this year really started. We're going to Dontaku. We're going to have Dominion. Forbidden Door is coming up. We are going to have the best of the Super Junior. The G1 is coming. This is going to be a hot, hot year for New Japan.
And they announced the G1 schedule this year.
Exactly. They are going back to Ryogoku for the finals of the G1 Climax. And I couldn't be more happy about that because, I mean, Nippon Budokan is fine and of it all, but they had trouble selling that building out, to be quite honest. They used these triple shots, and sometimes they drew like 3,000 people in Budokan, and that's just not a good look, not a heated crowd. But with two nights back-to-back in Ryogoku, I think they have a very good chance of selling that building out, and a packed building automatically looks much better than a big building that has the same amount of people or less amount of people in that. And with Sumo Hall, I think it's a perfect building for G1.
I think it's perfect for the legacy of New Japan. I wouldn't be so quick to give up on Budokan just because of all the restrictions and stuff in the years past that I think hurt it. I'd love to know. I don't have it right in front of me, but I'd love to know what they did around 2019 I'm looking at right now. 12,000 people in Budokan for the G1 final of 2019.
That's good. That's good. I think the biggest crowd they had was for the Kota Ibushi versus Kenny Omega match, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah, that took place like two shows before it. I'm looking at that right now as well. No, they did. When was that? Let's see here. That must have happened the year before. In fact, and it did. I know it did now. Oh, by the way, I never plugged my appearance on must-see matches with Kota Ibushi versus Tanahashi, the G1 final that year, one of the best matches ever.
Yes.
As well, which I just waxed poetic about. It was so good. That did 12,023.
I'm just looking at right now too. Yes. Yeah. So around the same. Yes.
Yeah, it's like literally a 9 person difference. So yeah. Basically the same overall. But yeah, 12,000 I think would be good. And I think but still though, like I said, on this show, the Sumo Hall show, the Sakura Genesis show, it was still about 3,000 less than what they were doing in 2019. They're not quite back where they were before the restrictions yet. But, you know, so I approve of this overall, is what I'm saying. But I think that the Sumo Hall show is a good move. Do you have anything to think about the dates of the tournament in terms of just the 19 shows? Does that mean we're going to shrink the field again? Are they moving away from the four blocks?
How many shows did they do last year?
Great question. I think they did 20 last year. In fact, I know that because I see it right here. Okay. Yeah, 20 shows last year.
20 shows? And now how many do we have?
It was either 19 or 20, so I guess we're kind of around the same spot overall. I think they should.
They have 19 shows, if I'm counting correctly. So No, they are not going to have less people in there.
I don't think they'll have less people, but I was wondering about the blocks.
Yeah, I would really keep the four block system because it was a really nice change last year, new dynamic for the tournament, and I was a big fan of it.
Me too. I completely agree with you, Strig. I know some people didn't made it
less predictable.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I loved about it. Remember how great D Block was?
Yeah.
Last year. Yeah. Like I said, I'm standing on this. I don't know if this is a popular take we're having or a hot one, but I'm totally with you. I love the four blocks, and I hope that they keep that overall.
Yes. So, I guess that's it for Digipen Pro Wrestling for now.
Yep.
Four blocks in the G1 Climax. We're a big proponent of that. Yes. In the other tournament that just started in Tokyo Kuroken Hall, we got two blocks. The Champion Carnival is off the ground and going. There are two points that I want to make about this show. A, it was probably not a good idea to basically run head-to-head with New Japan Pro Wrestling in Tokyo. B, it's not a good idea to run two tournaments at the same time, Dylan.
Oh, I completely agree with the second point. Well, I agree with both points, actually. Like, I completely agree with all of what you said, to be honest.
Kuroken Hall looked so empty. Like, yeah. They had 633 fans for the opening of the Champion Carnival. That's not good. And this company really was one of the top drawing companies in the country this year. But this is a clear setback for All Japan. But much like I said, they basically ran head-to-head with New Japan. I think it would have been much better if they had the noon slot in Kuroken Hall so that people could have gone to both All Japan and New Japan.
Oh, man, you're completely right on that. I wonder why, because remember we were talking about that when we were talking about doing this show. I asked you, I said, hey, they've got to be running early, right?
Yeah.
And you were like, no. I was like, what? Yeah, exactly. So I totally think you're right on the money there. I really wonder why they did it this way. Maybe there was some kind of deal they got cut. That's always my answer when anyone makes weird moves with the buildings. Is maybe there was some kind of deal that they got paid for this to do it this way.
Because sure.
On paper, there's no logical reason why you would.
There was no other show in Currican Hall today, so.
Cool. Well,
I don't know.
Big mistake. Like, overall. Like you said, the fan base was not what it could have been, I think. And like you said, if this were Noah, 634 would be okay.
That's okay for Noah and Currican, yeah.
Yeah, but for them, you expect better.
Yeah, especially with the main event of Yuma Aoyagi versus Kento Miyahara, that's practically the biggest match they can do.
And such a big moment in Aoyagi's story, like considering how it went out, that now this comes on this show that's overshadowed by the New Japan show.
Mm-hmm. It's not only overshadowed by the New Japan show, it's also, the moment is overshadowed by the show itself because the show wasn't good.
Yeah, it was a weak start to the tournament.
They had 10 matches. There was no reason they had to do this opening Junior Tag Battle of Glory special three-way match. I mean, it was a fine match and all, but why was that match on this show? And then they had a nice little Junior Tag Battle of Glory match with Kaito Ishida and Kotaro Suzuki going over Ryo Inoue and Oji Shiba. That was good. But then the start of this tournament, so weird. I mean, Rei Saito puts away Takao Mori in 1:31. Then Cyrus beats Jun Saito in less than 3 minutes. I mean, probably for the best, because these two would have been the weakest matches on the show, with Rei Saito and Jun Saito really not being on any level that they should be in a singles tournament, to be quite honest. But what a weird start to this tournament, right?
Yeah, we speculated on that, the Saitos, and you were worried about Saito and Cyrus, and it's clear that they found the solution to that.
Yeah.
Don't give them any time. So, we don't know.
I had to remember this god-awful, I think it was probably the worst big champion carnival match I can remember, with Shuji Ishikawa versus Ryo Rujisai.
Yeah, I remember this. I remember this match. Yeah.
I was thinking, what if they give any of these three a 30-minute draw in this tournament? That would be so horrendous.
We saw it before. Dr. Jonathan backed me up that he is a Team Cyrus. We don't have a lot to hang our hat on this show, but eventually he will break out. The Saito brothers, I'm not as confident on breaking out in this tournament. But I gotta say, you mentioned the junior tag match. That to me was one of the best matches on the show.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
Yeah, like that was probably the second best match on the show besides the main event. Man.
Well, yeah, I can see that. We got a couple of big moments on this show with Hokuto Omori, who is looking weird, Dylan. It looks like to me that he kind of missed the timing, because he was bulking up clearly, but he missed the moment to transition his size into muscles. I think that's where he's going, but he looks like a big clumsy child right now.
The North Wolf, man.
that's the name that a big clumsy child would give himself.
I mean, they decide, they saw this look and they said, look, we need to push this guy. Like, this is, we missed all these other opportunities when he was great that we couldn't push him, but we're going to do it now. And he's going to beat the big dog in a match.
Right,
in a nothing match.
Really interesting match. Nice finish with the modification, like, of the, what's the move that's Tenzan's move called? The Anaconda Vice?
Yeah.
The Narcissist Lock, it's called. Then Yoshitatsu beats T-Hawk by a referee stoppage in 7 minutes in another nothing match.
Yeah. What was this all about? Like, over here, why, of all people, to put so strong over on your show, Yoshitatsu? I mean... The thing is, he is going to get respect in this tournament overall, like he always does. I just don't think T-Hawk was the right person to put. Like, he's somebody that he's been on the back burner forever in his home promotion. He had a decent showing last year in the tournament, he has a title match coming up too in his own promotion, and I don't think this was great hype going into it.
Clearly not. And well, Manabu Soya against Shutaro Ashino, Wrestle One fame for both guys. They had a great match in that company back in the day. This match was not so great.
Yeah.
It was a fine 7-minute match. Soya won with a dando, with a lariat. Yeah. Not I a think good this was Ashino the... either.
Yeah. This was the point on the show that I really felt like, you know, because the Saito matches were so quick that yeah. I didn't think anything of them. I was like, okay, they don't want the Saitos to wrestle very long. Fine. You know, the other stuff, Omori, Ishikawa, it was a, like you said, this show had a lot of interesting results on it. Just yeah. the matches themselves weren't.
This entire middle portion of the show was so samey. Like, the matches didn't stand out at all.
And this match in particular, I thought, had like, you would think this is they would bring it with their history in Wrestle 1, and it felt soulless. Like, it was good. Like, it was a good technical, like, technically good match, you know? Nothing
yeah, but
went
wrong. Why do you, with the background, why do you put this match in a mid-card slot on a show like this? Why isn't that match happening on a different show, maybe, for example, in Osaka as second from the top or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say. I don't think Ashino, I wouldn't be too confident about him in this tournament, is all I'll say overall. But Soya getting the win was logical overall.
Then, at least, we got, I thought it was a good match that Ryokyu Honda and Satoshi Kojima had. Ryokyu Honda is rocking a 2014 Shuji Kondo look right now, which looks absolutely amazing with his new hairstyle. The mohawk looks great on him. Much like Zanada, new style, big win here against the big star in Kojima coming in from New Japan. Thought the match was good. Ref bump, not necessary, but they did it to protect Kojima a bit. Still big win with the final event from Honda. This one I liked.
Yeah, I think the next couple of matches were a step up from what we saw before.
Mm-hmm.
To me, this wasn't special by any means, but the win was cool, though. Like, I was so happy that they gave him the win. Last year, I posted on our Twitter, he had 0 points. Like, he didn't get a single win in the tournament. And now they're right away giving him a win. He's a guy I've really clamored and, you know, banged on the table that they need to do more with. This guy has everything it takes to be a main event. Like, great charisma, good look. He's got decent size to him. Good, like, really strong wrestler, I would say. Like, I love his style in the ring. I super young guy that gets behind, looks great in the photo. I mean, that may change with this new haircut. It's more like an edge. Like, they're trying to give him an edge, it seems like, a little bit there. I loved his old look, too, actually, because it fits well with the shades gimmick that they have going on. this doesn't as much as Mohawk, so I think it's a downgrade on the gimmick, but an upgrade in terms of the wrestler, himself, so to speak.
And everybody thought that Shotaro Ashino would be the biggest pickup from the Wrestle 1 roster, but you could clearly make the case that, given his potential, given his ability, given everything that he has going for him, that Ryukyu Honda in the end was the biggest pickup.
All hits.
Yeah,
Ryukyu Honda, that's my guy right there, so I love him. Ashino's a great wrestler, but I think he was always going to struggle just because of the size overall. And it's kind of played out that way. But I mean, hey, I'll take him losing over Soya in the mid card than being in the body bag.
Wow, yes, yes.
You see, you forgot about that, didn't you?
I completely forgot about it, even though it just happened a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. So, sorry for bringing that up straight.
On the topic of the body bag, Zuwama, in 15 minutes, completely destroyed Yuma Anzai. I mean, it's not bad, to be quite honest, because Yuma Anzai is a young guy and they pushed him very hard. And now this is a clear, clear setback. And I can see them doing a story where Yuma Anzai thinks that he is actually better than he is right now. That in his mind, he has gotten decent wins in recent time, even pinned Suwama in a 6-man or in a tag match, whatever it was. But now this was a big, big setback. Really no comeback for him in this match. He had one thing. He got this jumping knee in one time, and I think he had one pinfall or something like that. But for the most part, it was just Zuama beating the ever-living hell out of this guy.
Yeah, some kind of initiation or something, I guess, because they just went on and on. You know, like, this is the longest match on the show to this point.
It was usually this kind of match, the heat was built up, and you'd usually think that the guy, the face, has a comeback in the end, but there was no comeback.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I thought for what they did, Anzai did a great job selling it and all of that. The stuff at the start was stuff that totally turned me off of anything, so I was already in, like, the stuff with the Voodoo Murders. That made me not even in a good mind space for this match, so to speak. But I thought that working-wise, they did fine. It just drug on and on for seemingly no reason that you would think of. And I definitely agree with what you said about Anzai just being a setback. I think if you're not going to have him be a player, like win the tournament, or like at least be in the final, I think it's good, because he's been pushed more than any rookie in any company, basically. He got a win over Shima last month.
Yep.
A clean pinfall.
Nobody pins Shima.
Obviously, Shima. He knows. He will only lose if he sees star potential in you. But, you know, if they're not going to do that, I guess that's the way to go about it. I think that the match could have done better in whatever they were trying to do overall. But it was fine. It wasn't a bad match by any means. By the end, I mean, like I said, on paper it could have worked. I just think the execution, it was too long, too much Voodoo Murders at the start, and not enough of Anzai being awesome, which we know he is. And that's the problem, is that we, the fans, see that he can be a star and how great he can be. But like you said, I think that's going to be a part of a longer story for the tournament. So maybe in their eyes, it going like it did, like, the, you know, it going so long was to put over Anzai. You know, like, he survived all of this stuff for 15 minutes, even though he was getting his ass kicked the whole time.
Yes. So, until this point, this really was a bad show.
Yeah.
And luckily, we still had Yuma Aoyagi and Kento Miyahara, who at least had a match that I would call good. It was nowhere near their best performances against one another, but I thought still good match. Big moment for Yuma Aoyagi that in the end he was able to put Kento Miyahara away without a crazy long kickout sequence and without Kento Miyahara really being able to get any of his big moves in. He broke out of the shutdown suplex attempt from Kento Miyahara, then went to deliver the maximum, the Death Valley bomb that his tag team partner Naoya Nomura usually uses. And from there, straight to the Fool, the spinning Fisherman's Buster, and that was it. Clean as sheet, Dylan.
Yeah, I thought the big moment was obviously him using Nomura's move. And if anything, this kind of gave me restored confidence in Aoyagi's chances in the tournament. Because that's a great story that they could tell. His injured partner, that could kind of negate some of the things that made me think that he wouldn't win. You know, obviously he won it last year, coming off of everything. You know, we looked at the end of the tournament, he's in a really low rating match on the end, facing Yoshitatsu on the last day. So I think this match did give me restored confidence in his chances. I think he's up there as one of the favorites again. I think a great deal for him to beat Kento. And I think that's a very good next step in his journey, you know, as a wrestler in All Japan, to finally get that big one over Kento. The match itself, it was more compact than a lot of their other matches. I thought, you know, you compare this to the match they had in January, which was for the title. It was definitely shorter. And like you said, there was really no, it wasn't drawn out in any way, never mind just the time, but it's like they cut right to the chase. They got to business when the closing stretch came. It came, he hit the Nomura, the maximum driver, and then his move, the Fool, and just won. Like you said, there was no big back and forth, no big counters, no super dramatic parts of it. It was a very good main event, definitely a step above the other Champion Carnival matches, in my opinion, and a good way to end the show to give us good vibes and good feelings leading on to what you, I agree with what you said. Ultimately, this was not a good first step forward for the tournament. And it's one that I watched this show live. It's in the Sakura Genesis. Like, and I regret it after what we saw, because the other show was amazing. And it had a great finishing moment in it too. But this show overall, I was hyped for it. I'm still hyped for the tournament, but I think it was a rough first start. I thought that I thought the junior tag was better than any of the other Champion Carnival matches besides the main event. And then, like you said, and the thing is, they tried to do stuff on the show. You had Honda get the big win. You had Aoyagi get the big win. You had Omori get the big win. You had even Rei Saito got a big win in his stuff. I mean, it was a short match, but he still got a pinfall win over a former champion. So that has to count for something at his level. So they tried to do stuff booking-wise. I just think the execution and, like you said, the crowd and the vibe of it just wasn't there to make this feel like the big deal we wanted it to be.
Exactly. The tournament itself, it has a couple of big shows lined up. Nagoya, on the 15th, they have Kojima versus T-Hawk, Miyahara versus Honda, Ashino versus Anzai, and Zuwama versus Soya. That could be a very good show. Then another big one is their return to Kurken Hall on the 25th. That could once again suffer from too many matches on the show. They already have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 matches on that show. So once again, we'll get short matches on the undercard probably, but there is Kento Miyahara versus Satoshi Kojima for possibly the main event, and we get Ryukyu Honda versus T-Hawk, Ishikawa versus Soya. Yeah, and then Block B finals and Block A finals on the 30th and on May 4. And you've done your pick'ems, Dylan. What's your final?
I had Kento versus Suwaba.
Yeah, and I'm staying with my early pick of saying that it's going to be Zuwama versus Satoshi Kojima.
Yeah, I think both of those are pretty reasonable. Yeah. Overall, I think those are kind of the favorite parts. Like I said, my head actually told me Suwama and Kojima, to be honest with you, but I went a little bit with a heart pick because I can't stomach Suwama winning this tournament overall. Kojima winning would be interesting, and that's one thing that's interesting too, is that both him and Soya have so much history with the company, even coming in as outsiders. I think that's kind of cool. You know, stuff that you can call upon the Pro Wrestling Love era of All Japan, which they were both a part of. And Kojima, obviously, was one of the main guys. So if they wanted to call back to that, there's a lot of story that they could tell. Kento is, you know, that he's like, went in trouble, break glass, and here's Kento to come save the day. And Suwama, he pushes himself a lot. So yeah, all three of those choices are very, very logical, I would say.
Yep. Besides that, we of course got the Junior Tag Battle of Glory going. That is a one block system, one block tournament, but they have a final set up also on May 4. What do you think is winning that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Black International Generation.
Black Generation International, yeah.
Yeah, that would be good. Ishida and Suzuki. Mm-hmm. I sorry, I really like their match here at the first show. The other one would be Dan and Sato. Dan pinned Doi in the opener, mm-hmm. and I think that he's going to get a title shot out of that. So if they want to kind of build them up through that, I think that would be logical as well.
Yeah. Dan Tamura and Naoki Doi in Ottawa would be good.
Yeah, and I think that's a logical thing. And you could also have Atsuki and Hayato win. Neither one of them are the champions right now. I think having them get like an All-Asia title shot, like title run, because I mean the champions are awful. So I think Atsuki and Hayato would be my pick. I think that they're going to go by. I think you could put the titles on them and have them have like a little bit of a junior run. Kind of calling back to the last time they did something like this was really around the time of like X-Seed were in All Japan, and then you had like the junior stars, Kanemoto and Tanaka were All-Asia champions. Right. And I could see them trying to make the All-Asia titles kind of an impromptu junior tag titles for a little
while. It's usually when the All-Asia tag team title is at its best when it's basically a junior tag title.
Yeah, and I think that's where we're going to see that title take the direction for the rest of this year. I think Aoyagi and Hayato would win if they win the tournament.
Brace yourself for the next All-Asia Tag Team title match, Dylan. It's going to happen in Nagoya April 15, a tornado bunkhouse electric blast deathmatch at Sushi Onita and Yoshitatsu defend against Takao Omori and Black Mensore.
It's what the fans have been calling for of All Japan. I mean, this is the match we all pegged, I think. Like, and Mensore and Omori.
This show has such a weird undercard as well. They have a four-way match. Shuji Ishikawa versus Hokuto Omori versus Jun Saito versus Rei Saito. Why is that a four-way and not a tag team match?
Will the Saitos betray each other? Yes. Will this be the big turn that we've been anticipating? I don't know about all that. But I will say this.
Yeah.
I will say this. Everyone should sign up for the Patreon. Patreon.com/EasternLariat because every single...
Yes.
Every single match will be covered on the Patreon. Everybody should check that out. It'll be very quick. After every show, we'll do it. And hopefully we'll follow. It's like every tournament's a story in and of itself. You'll be reading it right away. You get all the cool stuff on the Patreon. I've wrote like a ton of WrestleMania weekend reviews too, by the way, on this, like every Tanahashi show I end up going with on there. Impact, Ring of Honor, Bloodsport, NXT, WrestleMania, all of them are there. And now it's Champion Carnival coming in, and the Junior Tag Battle of Glory as well. Lots of fun stuff on there. It's a good value, only $5 for the $5 tier. Please sign up. I would appreciate it.
Exactly. That's the Patreon. And we also, much like we said it, we highlighted it in the middle portion of the show, our Pro Res Fantasy Draft is still going on. And we are very close to each other. It's going to be interesting what the changes will bring. My change with Mayu, you brought in Satoshi Kojima. He, of course, lost today, but he definitely will bounce back.
For and me, Okada lost.
Okada, oh yes, Okada lost as well. Ooh.
Yeah,
let me look. I think Benkei didn't win today.
Where is Benkei? Benkei has been a different speaker.
Yep, Benkei is great. He's on a hot run right now, even though he is like not a focused player in Dragon Gate, but he's getting a lot of wins.
See, you've got game changers like Benkei and Hiromu that always win everything. It feels like so. Yeah. Like they're always helping you out big time on there. And my champions can't get any wins lately. I mean, even last month we talked about it on DM, the Julia and Maya Yuki match. I didn't get the points for that.
No contest. Yeah.
Yeah. I got one, but I wanted 10.
great match, by the way. I loved it. Just watched it the other day. Julia and Maya Yuki. Intense battle. Great, great stuff. The moment when Maya was just on top of Julia and just slapping the ever-living shit out of her. I loved it. All the stuff surrounding it. All the tables used. This incredible table bump from Julia was really rough. Great match.
Yeah, I love that match so much. I love it more as time goes along thinking about it because there was really no melodrama to it. It was just, we hate each other and we're going to fight. And it was freaking awesome. Even the finish was so petty on Yuki's part that I thought it was...
Yeah.
At the time, a lot of people thought it was controversial, but I love it more as time goes along. And I hope that they have a rematch because that feud could be super hot in every way when it happens.
Yes. All right. I think this closes out the show.
Yep.
Sakura Genesis clearly topping the start of the Champion Carnival. We can only hope for the Carnival to get better because this wasn't it. But
I think it will. I'm still excited for the tournament, just a misstep at the start.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So much from us right now here on the Eastern Lariat. Happy Easter if you're celebrating. I think, let's see.
What was that German thing you said you were going to? The fire or whatever?
Oh, yeah, it's an Easter fire. That's German tradition that basically the Catholic Church picked up from Germanic rituals that were there before the Christians were here in the middle of Europe. That's going to be... So basically, everybody has this Christmas tree, right? And then when the Christmas tree is thrown out, the thing that usually happens with them is they're getting picked up and they are mounted to have a big pile of wood, and then it's an Easter fire in the end. it's a symbol to bring in the spring.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, Japan has the sakura petals that fall, and you guys set stuff on fire.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, out with the old, in with the new, right?
Exactly. That's it. It's Easter. At the same time, it's the Pesach Fest, I think. I've pronounced it horribly. And Ramadan is also going on. It's ending on April 21st. So lots of festivities right now in the world. And I hope you all celebrate whatever you celebrate. And this has been the Eastern Lariat for this time. Thank you all for listening and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLWRadio.com network.